Hello, and welcome to the Natty's Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew D., and with me, Dwight Lindsay.
Hello.
All right, so we continue on our path to Rhodes, our experiences so far. My experiences is that I got to hang out with you guys on casual night and play some X-Wing and threw down 8 droids, and they ate people up. Actually, they ate one person, and then it was a close match for the second time around. Very, very close, actually. Just down to the wire, where if I lost a droid or stuff like that, I could have been in trouble. But having a lot of bodies on the board does help, and the SOC droids being able to have the contingency protocol is pretty nasty. Did we play?
We did. Yeah, you beat me, I think it was by a good 8 or 10 points. It was a very interesting matchup for me, because I had my 4-ship list, and I haven't gone up against any, large 8-ship matchup. So it was a really good for me to kind of challenge me on some play formations, because we were doing...
Scramble or salvage?
I think it was salvage, because I think it was the five. We were doing the 5 objectives close in, and you boxed me in pretty much right away. And with your box formation, I kind of flew into it, and I had to pick flight pass out, which split up my ships, and basically allowed you to slowly just kind of pick them off. So it's definitely something I gotta prepare for leading up to LCQ and Worlds. So it's matches like that I enjoy. Like, I don't get to go up against things like that often, which is the kind of lists I want to be preparing for as a player. So
yeah, and the droids are so cool in that fashion with the contingency protocol. They only want to be 3 from each other, so they don't really care about being tightly close-knit, so you can do a lot of objective play and do a lot of shooting. I think the largest thing to be careful about at that moment is the fact that they could pop, because they don't have as many network calculated dudes beside them. But I still keep a good, I keep a few chunks together, and then the chunkier ones I keep together too, and depending on which ones as well. Like, sometimes I'm fine with losing one to proc contingency protocol and get even a stronger attack.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? For the amount of points that you're actually losing out on the game, it's you can definitely apply that to your advantage for basically more of a follow through. Trade your 2 or 3 point ship for one of my 4 points or 5 point ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now I didn't use, I think, the only spot I'm trying to figure out is using the Discord missiles a little better, but they're still not bad. I mean, if I can get one off, it's pretty free damage, and that's a pretty big area to throw. You throw it to range 3, banking 3, or straight 3. So despite them being able to be shot and killed, you know, if you're shooting the discords, and I picture you're not shooting me, so that's good. And if you're not shooting the discords and I got one on you, especially if it's on the front of you, then that could be pretty sweet. And just getting a nice critical damage, it kind of makes me be like, okay, I only have to kill this ship until this point because it's going to die, and then I can move on to the next thing, and it still sits there. So that's cool.
Yeah, and discords combined with bombers, so you kind of have, especially if you have bombers with, say, prox mines, you're having excellent range control there. Somebody's not flying in to get too close because of the pizza pies coming there. And then you also have your discords kind of keeping me from flying at the outside. You're basically forcing your opponent to fly one particular way, which I really like that kind of control, right? It all comes down to control and controlling how your opponent's going to fly.
Yeah. I mean, separating them, being able to have certain guys together. I still like trying to figure out how to fly it, but it was good. Still didn't get as many games in this week as I was wanting to, I've been wanting to try to get five in. I only got the two in. I haven't been able to fit in another game. So, but I'll keep trying to get those games in. Either way, still preparing for Worlds and getting out there will be a ton of fun regardless. So.
Nice. Yeah, I know I got my two matches in on casual night, and Friday my original plan was to get in some matches, but one of our, I'd say newer players, he's been playing as long as me, has been really having a tough time with flying lately. He still hasn't won like his first match, and it's really getting him down, so we spent all of Friday night at Critical Hit with his list, trying to fine-tune his list, come up with formations for some of the different scenarios. We're writing out his sequence of events. Here's what you got to do in activation phase, here's what you're going to do in engagement phase, just trying to get him more comfortable with it. And he played on the tournament that on Saturday, and even though he didn't get his match, his one win that he was hoping for, he actually challenged several of the top players, like, right down to the wire. So he was frustrated, but when I told him about, how well he did compared to the level of competition he was facing off against, I think he felt a lot better.
That's really good. His emotions sometimes get the best of him, so you got to keep a cool head. It's tricky. I mean, my hope for him is that eventually it just clicks, and as long as, especially if he's got the list to carry him, then it's just practice. It's hard to say, like, what do you say to somebody who is having a hard time with getting a win in, right? Like, all you can do is just try to stay positive and try to help out the best so that they can get their stuff worked out as much as possible, but that's all you can do. I mean,
it's tough.
I think, like, everybody goes through patches too, where you don't get a win in for a bit. Like, it can be discouraging.
Yeah, like, it could be, like, for myself, for example, I went a good 6 months before I think I won my first casual night match when I first started last year, and then I think it was like another month after that before I got my first win in a tournament. But then, like, it was like 2 months after that I won my first tournament, but I was playing a lot. Like, I was playing as much as I can, and I can't speak for if I was playing in a different province, but I've had a lot of talks with a lot of the guys in our community and in the area, and Ontario, like, is a very tough place for a new X-Wing player, like, to get that win. Like, it's a very nurturing community, will always help players out, but, like, some of the top players that you see in any of the tournaments, whether it's online and all that, like, are from Ontario and Canada. Like, Ontario has some of the, like, top players going. Like, everyone we, like, in our own community group, people have been to, nationals, worlds. It's so you gotta remember that too. And that's what I was telling this newer person when he's trying out too, like, the caliber of people we're playing, it's frustrating, but I think for me personally that also helped me grow faster, because I had to adapt play styles, and I just kept playing these people over and over and over again, and it just elevated my game that much better and quicker, I think.
Yeah, when you start facing people outside of the area, or like some basement players and such, you start, if you have been just playing the guys that come out to casual nights and the events around Ontario, then you start to you start to realize where you are kind of situated amongst it all. There's some top class players. I mean, locally we have, some great players that have come out of Toronto. We got Rathos as well, and myself and Colin, System Open top players. I also went to Worlds before. There's a handful of people who have gone to Worlds from around here. And a lot of people are kind of veteraned in, that they've been playing for at least 7 to 8 years, 6 years for some of them, and that alone. Like, what are you gonna do? It's like six to eight years. That's a lot of practice.
Yeah, it is.
So, speaking of people coming together and playing games, there was an event.
Yes, we I got together with the owners of the Brew Wizard Cafe, and we held our first tournament of the year on Saturday. It was a good turnout. We had 13 players, which you know, I thought was a pretty decent turnout, and the owners were very happy as well. We had you know, a lot of the locals come out. We had the Pattersons come too. I think they drive from Aurelia down, and then the crew Don and Drew over from Hamilton area, they came too, which is really nice. They're more than happy to come out for the drive. Always a good bunch of guys to play with. So yeah, it was a really good event. We started early enough, 10:30 a.m., so we were able to get four rounds in and even stop after the first round to have a very well, nice made lunch by Brew Wizards Cafe. It was good. And, yeah, it was pretty good. Rathos, Steven, was our winner. He basically took four straight with his resistance list, probably to no one's surprise there. I don't have a copy of his list, but I do know he was flying the Poe and the Falcon and just dominating everyone out there. So it was pretty
good.
That
Poe Falcon is so beefy. That thing is very, very consistent.
Yeah, it, like, a lot of the time you... Like, it can pump out four dice, but a lot of the time it's three dice. But nine times out of ten, it's three hits at least. It's very good. And following up right behind him, our own local Colin with resistance as well came in second with a 3-1 record. And Ben with his ever daunting First Order came in just behind him with another 3-1. Basically, Colin had him on SOC to take second place. I went up against Ben in the first round, and it was an assault. And this is where my four ship list, you know, he had a 6-ship First Order, and it was assault. And he just outplayed me on the objectives. As kind of disappointed with myself, you know. He played so well, he kind of forced my ships to split off, which I don't like doing with the four ship list, but I had to try and save him from taking like 3 points around. I was just fighting for every one, and my ships weren't really getting shot down, but it's just so hard when you can with First Order, you know, they're like a, I don't know, they're a very utility kind of faction right now. You know, you can basically make whatever size of squad you want and make them very functional for what you want. If you want to play objectives, if you want firepower, if you want shenanigans in there where you're jamming or coordinating, it's definitely something that's always difficult to go up against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Colin, what he flew, Poe, Ray, so Poe in the T-70, the 7.1, Ray, or is it, what did he fly? I'm having a hard time figuring out how to see the stuff properly. I see Elo, I see Jaeger.
Yeah.
This is my first time on Longshanks, so how does one look at a list all nice and neat and tidy?
Yeah, that's what it, I'm just trying to do it here. There's usually a list submitted icon.
Yep, I see that.
And then you click on that, and oh, it's got the copy to clipboard thing, so unless you have Yasby opened up.
Oh, you actually have to transfer it over to Yasby, I see.
Yeah. All right. Let's just see if I can do it here quick. Yeah, of course not. All right. All right, yes. So we had, I was just able to copy and import the link into Yasby. So yeah, you had Poe and the Falcon with Composure, Trick Shot, Perceptive Co-Pilot,
the title. Oh, it was Poe and the Falcon.
Yeah, and of course Rey. I wasn't sure about that Perspective Co-Pilot at first for 8 points on him. And it's not your typical build that you see in some of the tournaments, but it really works for him, having those. Basically, you can mod on attack or defense. Yeah, he had Elo in the T-70, Nine Numb, and Jarek in the Fireball. So yeah, four-ship list. Poe, I got a feeling we're going to see a lot of Poes in Resistance there at Worlds.
Yeah, I mean, how do you deal with it? I mean, even he can even roll, right? So I'm like thinking, like, do I put a little Discord missile on him, a little Buzz Droid? Like, but despite him shooting it off, he can still he can roll with the freaking Falcon.
I know, and he doesn't. Unlike Rafe in the Falcon, Poe doesn't mind turning his turret. Like, there's no disadvantage for him.
Mm-hmm. So, no, none at all. It's a perfect information time, basically, as well.
Yeah, so this is... because I've gone up against them a couple of times now, and I still haven't figured this out. The first match I went, because he's usually running the same thing, like three ships and Poe. And I've tried going for the ships first, and then usually about the third or fourth round, Poe's getting in your face. I've tried going just for Poe, and depending on what three ships he's flying, unless there's an A-wing in there, they do take a, like, unless they K-turn or something, they do take a little time coming back in. But Poe just, like, he's so hard, because he can just be anywhere. The only thing I was thinking is if you can somehow prevent him from boosting through a rock, but if he has trick shot on him, then he's just gonna blast you through the rock, and that might as well be range one. It's
Poe feels like a trap.
Yes. Yeah. I'm getting like scum vibes when I see Poe on the table. It's just like
like, can you kill him? And the chances are no, you can't.
I think because I'm my list right now with Republic, I do have one ship with Ordnance, but mm-hmm. I think that's the type of list that doesn't go for Poe. You know, I think you'd need, like, you know, if like a majority of your list had some Ordnance, then I think you go for Poe.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have enough to take him, right? You have to have like an Alpha Strike with like double modded 3 to 4 Ordnance, right? Don't die. Don't die, Dwight. No.
Sorry about that. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah, if you can't take him down in one round or, say, two rounds, like, if you think it's going to take three rounds to take him out, no, you've just lost the game, I think.
Yeah, that's tricky, yeah, because you don't want to spend too much time on. But if you do kill him, he is worth 7 points. But that's a lot of work to put in to collect 7 points.
So that is a valid point. So let's say, you know, like, you pick a scenario, right? So if you're in Assault where Poe could get you 2 to 3 points per round, well, and it takes you three rounds to get him up, you could have potentially, you know, gave anywhere from 3 to 9 points to Poe to take him down, you know. Mm-hmm. But something like, say, Scramble or Salvage, you know, you might have only lost out on 2 or 3 points to take him down. So there is, it is very scenario-based as well.
Yeah. And then he's got high initiative there too, right? So it's not just him. I mean, Jaeger's also at 5. And then he's got the T-70s, who are also sitting at 5, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The initiative play is... it's like I'm starting to understand it a lot more. It's like, before I was just like, I want ship abilities. I'll figure out the initiatives as I go. And then when everyone else gets to attack before you, you're like, oh, yeah, I definitely have to plan this out a bit better. Let's get some 5s in there.
Yeah, the droids just hang on for dear life. Just like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Stay together. Stay together.
I didn't. And I Ben. Love, Yeah.
Was sitting with the First Order. What did he end up bringing with the First Order?
Oh, okay. His list was... he doesn't have it updated in there. So he had Grudge. I remember Grudge. He had the standard Malorus, Scorch. I'm sure he had the DT 798. I can't remember the other ones. It was just so many ships. He just brought so many ships.
Did he have more than five?
He had six. I believe it was a six-ship list that he had.
Holy jeez.
And the only one he said he wasn't sure about was Grudge. Because Grudge, you know, being Initiative 2, but he does Grudge things very well. But, you know, he also has to be flowing a certain way as well. So I know he wasn't 100% confident on that, but the rest of his list was just doing damage. Like, extra stress, extra die, stress. It was like red tokens on the mat, like, every turn. But, you know, it was a very consistent dice rolls, too. And he was doing damage left and right on me. But, you know, he finished in third. He knows how to fly his list well, so.
How is he building out his Scorch and the other numbered one that is also similar to Scorch?
That's the DT. Wish he would have updated his list. There was just so much going on. I know one of his ships had, he did have an ion cannon on, so if he wanted to, he can ionize you, because halfway through the game, he ionized Barriss, and then...
Uh-oh.
Just decided he was going to do that for the rest of the game.
Had just decided he was going to keep doing it. He's like, this was fun.
Oh, yeah, and then Barriss, I have her in the 7B, so you wouldn't think she lives that long with only 2 agility, but she lives for a long time, which was good because he had 3 ships chasing her down, but it was like Ion like 3 turns in a row, and it was just like boom, 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 and it was just like... She kept living, though. She kept living, so it wasn't enough for me to come back and get his other ships, but he had a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah, she keeps living and floating in one direction.
Yeah, that's it, eh? But I'm just so glad it's not the old 2.5 where she just goes one straight and eventually flies off the board.
It's so much better now that you have a little agency, which always made sense. You always see, like, in the shows, the... pilots trying to, you know, pull the joystick over so that they can try to make something happen. So I pictured that's the case.
Yeah, and Drew from Hamilton was there too, and he's been flying First Order as long as I've known him, and I know he's been flying First Order even longer than that. And
yes, Drew is my First Order buddy.
Yeah,
and I miss him. Drew, I miss you.
So I didn't get a chance to play up against them, but I would, if I was a betting man, I would say he had Kylo and Malorus, probably Scorch, and maybe DT in there. I don't know if that fits, but that would probably be pretty close because he's good at what he flies. So.
Yeah, I have a list that has Kylo's silencer that I'm looking forward to trying out. So I really want to get that to the table next time around.
When I hit First Order next time, I want to fly a lot of I want to try like the Whisperer Swarm, the Silencer Swarm, even the Special Forces Gunner Swarm. Like, I got 3 lists that are just like all just like those ships in the list, like just all Whisperers, all Silencers, all Special Forces, just to try out like for fun, because they just seem like nifty little combinations to try out. And then, you know, then I actually have some like competitive lists too, but I don't know, like, out of all the factions I've flown, because I was so new when I flew First Order, I didn't really have a good understanding and appreciation for them, and now it's just like, man, I do so much list building with them. It's just like there's so much fun and hijinks you can do.
Mm-hmm. And you have been going through all the factions, so what factions is this the last faction, or do you have another one to go through?
I saved the best for last, Empire. So right after Worlds, my 3 months tour of the Republic is over, and I head into the Empire.
Oh, you're going to have so much fun. Empire has so many toys.
Well, and if I do make such a bold prediction, I'm expecting... I wouldn't think before Worlds, but I would... If I was a betting man, I'd say right after Worlds, there will be a points adjustment. Whether it's big or small, it's hard to say, but I think we're due to one before the next competitive season starts up.
I can't wait for the next competitive seasons because we're actually going to get tournament kits, right?
Oh, store champs. Yeah, there's still not a lot of details in it, but let's just at the very
least. As in, there are no details.
if it's anything like the old way, let's just do quarterly tournament kits. You can order up, and if you win, you get a ticket to Worlds. I'd be a happy man.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's what. That's what I'd love to see as well. And I want new plastic. Give me the plastic cards. And the ability to go to all the events. Yes, this is what I wish for my future.
There was so many good players there. Like your buddy Titus showed up. He came from the Peterborough way, which was good to see him came out. He came out. And our buddy Don from Hamilton came out, and he has his list updated in an actual nice format. And he was flying Separatists, and he called his team the Pizza Delivery.
I love that it's Pizza Delivery.
You should have seen the stack of Proxmine he had with him. It was ridiculous watching this one. It was like your charge tokens on Tuesday night. Like, it was just like this huge stack of Proxmines. And I'm just like, oh, this is going to be painful. But in my match against them, I did not win, but I did not hit a single Proxmine. Actually, I moved just in front of one with one of my Jedis. We were both watching. I dropped my ship down. It just missed it by a hair, and I was like, all right, spending a force, doing a barrel roll, boosting, getting away from this.
Oh, that's that's a ton of pizzas. So you didn't get one pizza delivered your way, eh?
No, but
that's
he
unfortunate.
He was so Don is such a technical player. Like, man, like, he knows like how to play his list like perfectly. Like, he was dropping those Proxmines. He was like determining the way I would fly. He was he was putting me in scenarios where I think it was the one match where my Anakin died, because like he would just make it so I could only move to one spot. He knew my dial. He knew where I could move to, and he was just positioning his ships around. And just when I'd think I'd get out of the way of something, like, he'd have Dirge come out of nowhere and like proton cannon me. And but it was such an enjoyable match. You know, it's just like, when someone plays their list well against you, you can't help but admire it.
Was Dirge a real pain in the rear end?
He was, I don't know what you would call him. He's what Grievous usually was. Like, his Grievous didn't do much, but like, so, you know, you're playing, you're flying around, you're shooting each other, and Dirge is just kind of floating around or along the sides in the background. But then when there's a key moment in a round, he's there. And he's there, you're in his bullseye, and he fires that proton cannon. He only fired it, I believe, twice in our match, but it was always at a key time. Like, it was just the rest of the time. He did have bombs on him, which was interesting, so that I did have to, like, spend some time dodging them, but I think they were only proton bombs, so it was like, yeah, okay, boost, barrel roll, get out of the way. But it did control whether or not I was getting an engagement that round, so he was enough of a pain. Like, you know, you didn't think about him at first, but then once he made his presence known, you're like, oh, okay. Dirge.
Fair enough.
I liked his build a lot better than mine. Like, I had the standard, when I flew him, ion cannon and heavy laser cannon, but I think having the proton cannon and bombs on him was a much better build.
Yeah, I was enjoying the ion bomb, ion cannon title version. That was pretty fun. For just specifically a control element, but it's nice to have him dishing some damage. And the proton cannon, when lines up at I5, he can line it up pretty decently, so it's pretty good in that way.
So that was our tournament first place. You know, When you hold these tournaments at, a place like Brew Wizards or Critical Hit that doesn't stock X-Wing merchandise per se, or at least not to any heavy degree, you know, prizing's always a little, you know, difficult. You have to find things or whatever to make work. So we did have the Hotshot and Aces 2. Steven took that. That was kind of like the main prize. And then, you know, we had a couple old tournament kits. So we had some alt arts, some strain tokens. I had a bunch of leftover, like, tokens from Curlpaw. You know, everyone was kind of happy with the prizes. I felt, you know, I like, I kind of asked everyone, you know, like, hey, how do you feel about prizing? Because I kind of told them the situation we're in. It's a little bit easier when you're at an actual game store and they just give you store credit because you have, like, all of this product you can buy. But the guys just told me, it's like, look, when you're paying, like, $10 for a tournament, like, you're just coming to play the matches. Like, yeah, you know, a good prize is nice. But a lot of them just said, like, we come out to play, you know, it's... Don't, like, stress too hard. We know you're going to, like, give something good. It's like, and most of these guys are like, you know what? If it's not something I need, I just give to my local gaming group as a prize. So it's like, that made me feel a lot better. Because I sometimes stress out over things like that.
Yeah, same. I always, in the past, wanted to try to give people the best that I could. The best experience in all facets, right? So. Yeah. And it's tough when the company itself is just not at that production point. So
yeah, one thing that I was able to do is because I'm always messing around with makeplaincards.com was I actually finally was able to get all the errata cards made, like all of them.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so what I actually did for top in each faction, I gave them the erratas for those factions.
So oh, that is so good. Good well, idea.
Especially for any Republic player because now they actually have 7B cards.
That oh true, that's so good.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, so I think I'm gonna get a bunch more made up because I think those are like especially the Republic ones. I think those are the key ones. But even the Buzz Droids, you know, ones like that too. They're nice to have because unless you bought the SOC, you know, you don't have those. So I think that's a nice little thing I could probably do for a few months for tournament prizing is just keep giving out those errata cards on the side and things like that. And they're not very expensive to make. So.
Fair enough. If you ever produce any of the cards that have the scenarios on them.
Oh, I know. What's holding me back on that is because I want to, like, as your suggestion was to make them, like the same size as, like, the damage tech.
Yeah.
I'd like to make that up for all the communities, but, like, I want more than just text. Like, I could just do text and have them made up and have them here by the end of the week, but, like, I want to find something that kind of captures it or looks a little bit nicer.
Oh, yeah, you want symbols and stuff like that, right?
Something like that. I just feel just putting the text with, like, a starry background is just, I don't know. I want to do it better.
Fair enough. Sweet deal, dude. Well, anything else that you want to mention before we close out today?
Just, you know, like last week we kind of started a new thing about just helping out our new players, learning to fly. And we talked about, you know, placing obstacles down, their kind of mentality for it. So I'd like to just quickly go over the next step is just like, you know, you put your ships on the board. One thing I realized during this tournament was I had a 4-ship list and I went up against everything from 8 ships to other 4-ship lists. And, just make sure that you know the formation that you have and, you know, you got to be able to fly it in a way that makes you comfortable because like I've mentioned earlier in the podcast, there's a few times where I had to split up my list where I didn't want it. So that happens when I fall for a trap, you know, I fall into what the opponent wants. So, you know, it's just another thing to keep in mind when you're placing your ships on the board, you know, just... always try and think at least 2 or 3 rounds ahead of time. You know, it's hard because you got to predict where your opponent's going to go. But have a goal in mind. Don't just fly your ships up the board. Like, have a spot on the board where you want all your ships to be at, say, round 3. And then just make all your plan and moves with that goal in mind.
For sure. Sweet deal. All right. Well... on that note, all ready to close it out?
All right.
Sweet deal. Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening. We are going to keep on discussing our journey as we lead up to Worlds. And, of course, we'll have a great cast after we attend Worlds about our experience, which is going to be amazing. I just can't wait for it. Regardless of how anyone does, it's just going to be so good. So I can't wait to, especially with the people we're going to get to see and hang out with and things we're going to do. So hang tight. You'll get to, you know, we'll keep checking in with you guys about how it goes. And have you be part of all the experience so you can really understand, at least from a listener's perspective, what it's all about, so, and how it goes. So thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Dwight, for joining again today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem, dude. I am your host, Andrew D. You've been listening to the Natties Podcast. Keep your ships on the mat. We're rooting for you, and if all else fails, just roll natty.